Good morning. The appointed psalm this morning is number 121, which can be found in the black psalter in your pew. Standing, we'll read this responsively. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. Matthew 5, 15 and 16 read, "No one after lighting a lamp puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." In his book, Letters to a Young Doubter, William Sloane Coffin writes that what's dangerous is not a commercialized, but a sentimentalized Christmas. This because a commercialized Christmas, he says, never pretends to be anything else. Sentimentality, however, does not arise from the truth, he explains. It's what's poured on top, blurring and distorting the truth. Since first reading this the summer after I graduated from college, in a copy of the book that Bill had inscribed to me for my birthday, it did not take long before I was convinced that this principle applies equally to the Gospels, if not the whole Bible itself. Certainly, our text this morning is as vulnerable to sentimentalization as any passage in the New Testament. "Let your light shine before others," it reads. Copy and paste that onto a photo of a warm, resplendent New England sunrise, and you've got your Instagram installment for the day. Any tendency toward sentimentalization, certainly as it relates to religion, scripture, and Christianity, always leads me back to Reinhold Niebuhr as well, especially given this morning's text. Writing in his 1944 book, The Children of Light and the Children of Darkness, Niebuhr defines children of light as those who seek to bring self-interest under the discipline of a more universal law, in harmony with a more universal good. Unfortunately, at least according to Niebuhr, children of light are naive and stupid and indeed sentimental. Their liberal creed, he says, betrays their blindness to the forces of darkness. We might dismiss Niebuhr as churlish or petty, but he is convinced that the stupidity and the sentimentality of the children of light are equally, if not more, dangerous than the cynicism of malice which the children of darkness possess. Niebuhr's resolution. He says the children of light must be armed with the wisdom of the children of darkness, but remain free from their malice. They must know the power of self-interest in human society without giving it moral justification. They must have this wisdom in order that they may beguile, deflect, harness, and restrain self-interest, individual and collective, for the sake of the community. So then, how are we to read today's passage without pouring on sentimentality? How are we to shine without becoming stupid and sentimental and dangerous? Holding just to our central metaphor this morning, let us first consider the fact that there is little use in shining where light is already abundant. In each of the synoptic gospels, Jesus explains that it is not the healthy who need the physician, but the sick. Likewise, there is no need for our discipleship to emanate where brightness exists already. The shared glow may be warm and comfortable. It may be satisfying. It may make for great Instagram. But adding light to light when darkness covers so much of God's world, this is naive, and this is stupid, and this is sentimental. Discipleship and joy are not mutually exclusive, but discipleship and recreation, discipleship and complacency should be. Some darkness needs primarily the extinguishing light of God's prophetic judgment. All darkness needs God's enduring promise. But be not mistaken, it is darkness which we're after. It is darkness which we must extinguish. Second, let us consider the fact that light exerts pressure. Light exerts force. My cousin Nathan, a professor of physics and astronomy in Wisconsin, would know how better to explain this, no doubt. Perhaps some of you would as well. What I'm fairly certain is that it all involves charged particles, energy, acceleration, and momentum. This is physics. But if it is with physics, let it be with discipleship also. There is no stationary lampstand for us on which to sit. We're lampstands with legs, or we're not disciples. We're called to follow the way of the cross, charged, spirited, robust, and dynamic. If the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, it bends at least in part due to the pressure and the force that comes from God's light as it shines through discipleship. Finally, let us remember that none of this is about us, that we shine, that God may be known. As Luther writes, "Wherefore, let this be your standard rule. Wherever the Holy Scriptures command good works to be done, understand that it forbids you to do any good work yourself, because you cannot. Instead," Luther says, "become dead and buried, and permit God to work in you." This death is the death and then the resurrection of baptism. If therefore we shine such that others see our good works, let it be that others see our good works. That is, our good is operative and fit and functional. Our good is alive, and it is animated by the Holy Spirit. Let your light shine. It begs to be sentimentalized. It begs to be made soft and palatable. Do not give it these satisfactions. This morning's text has everything to do with active, robust, costly discipleship. Everything to do with the way of the cross. Do not add light to light, and do not be blind to darkness. One is complacent, the other dangerous. Instead, seek out darkness that it may be extinguished. Know that your discipleship brings to bear pressure and force. Make sure your good works. Use it all to bend the arc toward justice, that God's will may be done. A prayer. God, make us shine that your love and your power and your justice may be better seen. Make us to be the disciples that you deserve. Amen. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Standing, we'll sing this morning's hymn numbered 37 in your red hymnal. May God bless and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.